The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Tune in, Putting Your Financial House in Order, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on WFYL 1180 AM.
Hi folks, Mike Kaminsky here, co-host and local sponsor of Putting Your Financial House in Order. People ask me all the time, do you like being on the radio? And I answer, absolutely. I personally feel being on the radio is the next best thing to being able to sit down one-on-one with you. It's a great way to help educate you on many areas of personal and business finance. So I hope that if you do have questions, you'll pick up the phone and you'll give me a call. I'd be more than happy to answer any and all questions you have. That's why I'm here. That's why I co-host and sponsor the program. So now is a great time to get your questions answered. So simply give me a call at 484-671-2461. That's 484-671-2461.
Putting your financial house in order.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great! And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, your host for today. And today we have Kim Zampieri as the Associate Broker at RE/MAX Legacy, located in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. How are you, Kim?
Very good.
I'm excited to talk today because it seems like the spring market has sprung as far as real estate. Would you agree?
I would agree. It certainly has.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So what do you think buyers expect when they visit a home for sale?
They have big expectations. Big expectations. There's a lot of information they see on TV, they see online, that they get from driving around, viewing open houses, whatever the preliminary work that they do, they have expectations. And one of them is that your house is ready to be seen, that it's going to be clean and clutter-free, pet-free, whether we want to believe that or not.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. No matter how much they love them, they don't want to visit yours. You know, that's for another activity, not for actually looking at the home. And when they see a house that meets their needs, they're usually going to be a lot of activity around that house.
So if you came in as their agent, are you expecting them to repaint or recarpet, or do you give those suggestions, or we should professionally stage this, declutter?
Right. Well, coming in with a buyer, you definitely want to already have an idea of their expectation. Are they looking for that move-in ready house where they can actually just walk in the front door, hang their hat, and start living? That's one thing. Are they willing to put a little bit of their personal touch on it? In other words, it may have some cosmetic challenges. You know, we've all seen the flowery wallpaper that was from the 80s, or carpeting that nobody wants anymore. They much prefer some kind of hardwood floor. Or are they willing to look at an all-out fixer-upper? You know, take out the bathrooms, take out the kitchen, and start over. They're all different price points, by the way. So the seller really should have an idea before they're even inviting buyers in of what to expect, because of where they are compared to their competition in the market. Those buyers have an expectation of as perfect as it can be most of the time for the money. And that's an educational process.
I think it all does come down to expectations, though, too. What is the seller expecting? What is the buyer expecting? And then where are the compromises going to happen, too?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, the seller expectation is always, you know, sell my house as fast as you can for the most money. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. And you need to prepare your house. But when you have the buyer coming in, they also have an idea. You know, think of all the TV shows that you've seen that really have an entertainment value sometimes a lot more than the truth about the particular market you're in. They give you an idea, but they kind of load the buyers up with their own ideas about what they're going to get in it. That's a process too. If the seller can meet those expectations, they are so much ahead of the game. You know, if they don't, their neighbor probably will who's selling. So you need to get on board.
So all the work doesn't happen in a half hour like on television?
No.
Oh, wow. Shoot.
No, there's lots of prep time.
HGTV's a lie.
Oh, well.
Okay. Well, it's good realistic expectations, I think, on everyone's part.
Yes.
So, you know, we talk about balanced life, but what is the balance of house hunting with our life responsibility? Somebody going out, this is overwhelming, but yet this is their dream. So how do we balance this whole process?
You know, that's a very important step in the process. And the reason for that is preparation. If the buyer has taken a very good look at their financial situation, they know what they can afford, they have either their mortgage pre-approval or whatever other financing they're using to purchase the home in order and ready to go, they will be prepared. But beyond that, looking online every hour, every night at whatever things that come up is enticing. I mean, people want to do it. I want to do it, of course. You get to see every property as it comes up. But if you have a plan in place where you're meeting with your agent, this is the day we're going to look, you can focus on a particular area, your targeted neighborhood, where you want to be, the type of home that you want, and really drill down to the houses that meet those needs. If you do that, you can balance. Sometimes we are in a market where a house will go very, very quickly, either because of the pricing or the location or the style. As a result, you need a little flexibility, but if you do your homework before you get there, you really balance that out. You're ready to make that move. That would be my suggestion. You definitely need to be prepared before you even jump in.
I think we've talked on Balanced Life about we need to compartmentalize, whether it's our work, prayer time, or you know, searching for a home, whatever it is, but we're so used to multitasking that I think people don't realize the importance of hiring an agent to help them compartmentalize the looking, because I can imagine it would be overwhelming.
It could be very overwhelming, especially once you identify the property that somebody wants to make an offer on. Mm-hmm. The procedures that have to take place from that point forward can be overwhelming. And that's another reason why you should have an agent who has sat down with you and run through how exactly do you buy a house. What do I expect from day one? Then you're prepared, and that will help you very, you know, in many, many ways to keep the stress level down.
That's good. And honestly, when we looked for a house 20, 25 years ago, I wish our agent was honest and we had some of these open discussions, because honestly, I think they wanted to sell the most expensive home. They didn't care if we ate hot dogs the next 3 years. But I know you have great integrity and you always have a candid discussion with your buyers and your sellers when you're having an interview, so to speak, to sell or buy.
Absolutely.
A home.
The motivation that the seller has for selling or the buyer has to buy is very important. Mm-hmm. And the most expensive house is not always the right house for them. I want them to be a client for years and years to come, mm-hmm. and to be confident in referring me to somebody else in their mm-hmm. life, whether it be a coworker or a relative or something. And one of the things that you have to identify is their living standard. Like, you know, you can, if you choose to, spend the most, if it's your choice, what you want, but perhaps that will impact the way you live in a way you didn't think of. And that's one of the conversations you should have. Here's your payment. Will you be comfortable with that? And that tells you a lot. The look that you get across the table after you've revealed that is usually very telling. And then you can pare back expectations, or at least look at what the compromise can be and help that person decide, you know what? Maybe I wanted this big 3,200 square foot house, but perhaps I need to take it down a notch and maybe this will be my first house and not my forever house, and I'll work my way up. Those are the things you have to figure out.
I think it would be more challenging with first time buyers. They're the ones with the dreamy eyes and, oh, I can't.
Yeah,
so,
yes.
But walking them through the process is, I think, very important. I think you become more realistic.
It's very important too, because I think people, ask for other people's opinion when they're getting into the market. And sometimes those opinions, they're good. Sometimes people have expectations of their own or reasons why they did or didn't have a good feeling when they bought a house. So you know that they're going to get inundated with information, and you have to work through that because they've hired you for a reason. They need to respect your professionalism. Otherwise, you're probably not the agent that they should have hired. And absolutely work through those things, because they'll come up time and again as you go through the process.
You have to be well informed, and really only an educated agent can really do that. So we are glad to have Kim Zampieri here today from RE/MAX Legacy in Plymouth Meeting. If you would like to reach Kim, she has great tips and homeowner tips and cost savings on her Facebook, her Twitter, and her LinkedIn pages. So find also Kim Z at kimzrealestate.com. And Kim, what is your email that people can reach you?
It's just as easy. It's kim@kimzrealestate.com.
Do you see how fun her name is, Kim Z? I wish my last name started with a Z. But thank you, Kim. Stay with us. We'll be right after. Be right back after the break.
Sure.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Working for your liberty right here in Philly. WFYL.
Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm Renee with In Touch Marketing, and we still have Kim Zampieri, the associate broker at RE/MAX Legacy. Okay, Kim, we talked about a balanced life and decluttering your home, preparing it to sell. So let's talk about a balanced life for the curb appeal of a home.
It's so important. Your buyers will do a drive-by long before they come through the front door, and they want to look at that house and say, I could live there. I can envision myself being there. I can see, you know, my car parked in the driveway. Don't miss out on that. It's so very important. In the winter months, it's a little tough. We all know that. You know, there are some strategies. But your agent, a home stager, they can help you to prepare the outside of your house, not only for the curb appeal, which will make somebody driving by stop and say, I really could live there, but because some of those things might be deferred maintenance from the wintertime. Make sure that your gutters are cleaned out, that you don't have any trees with hanging limbs or anything like that, that none of the shingles came loose or any of the siding. All of those things will prepare your house and actually make for a much smoother transaction when you go through the home inspection process. But the appeal, I really can't say enough about curb appeal. It means a lot to people. They want, when they finally decide to buy a house, for everybody to know they bought the nice house, the very nice house, and that it looks that way.
It's true. On the half hour segments on TV we were talking about earlier, even just throwing potted flowers and plants and adding a couple shrubs always helps.
It's welcoming. I mean, think of yourself, if you were having a big party and you were inviting people over, you would take the time to clean off the stoop, to make sure that the welcome mat was out, to have everything color coordinated or your holiday scheme in place. It's the same thing when you're going to open your house to buyers. You want them to feel welcome, like they belong there, that they want to be there. Just think of it in the same way as if you were entertaining, and have it ready. It's the best thing you could do.
And I can imagine it doesn't have to cost a whole lot of money to bring a house up to looking nice.
No, it doesn't have to cost a lot. If you are capable and able to do it yourself, it's really basically a cleanup. Make sure you have a yard cleanup, that your front door doesn't have any cobwebs or any peeling paint or anything like that. But if you need help, there are so many. I mean, really, landscapers, they know what you mean when you say, I'm getting ready to sell my house, and my agent says I need curb appeal. Believe me, they know what you mean. So they can help you with that. And also, you know, you can hire painters for the outside, and there's lots of handymen out there and people like that that can do power washing and things to really get your house prepared. Your agent can always help you with that. This is something that's part of the process and shouldn't be stressful. Just look at the house and look at it and say, if I was buying this house again, what would I want? You know, what's in the way, what should be removed, and what would look better, and do it now.
I think in a balanced life, we always want our house decluttered, and even the outside. I always feel so heavy if things are not in order. So that's good advice for not only a buyer or a seller, but the homeowners out there. You just taking pride in the place you live and in your home, your little piece of the planet, as we always say. But okay, so what's the next step in preparing your home for sale, Kim?
Well, you definitely want to look at the outside, like we said, the curb appeal. You want to take a look at the inside, like you said, making sure that all of the little nuisance projects that you should have had done are completed, nothing is undone, and that also it's clean and clutter-free. But you also want to sit down with your agent and make sure that you understand pricing and the value, and that they're giving you an honest assessment. Everybody believes they have the nicest house on the block. That may or may not be true, but you need an honest assessment. So when you figure that part out, you'll definitely be ahead of the game, because the buyers already have, long before they got to the front door, they've already decided what it's worth. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have all of those things in line.
Yeah, I would think that many are passionate about their home and sentimental, and of course, but yes, you do need a third party to give you the realistic market and value of your home.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of emotion involved in buying and selling. And there will be a lot of people who tell you there aren't any emotions. They're moving on or whatever. But the truth is, when it comes down to it and they're signing on the dotted line, that's usually where you can see the connection that a person has with either the memories that took place in the home or the reason that they bought it or the reason that they're selling it. And that has to be considered not in pricing. That has no place there, but in working with somebody that they understand what you're going through and that they help you with that, because it's important that a person is able to get through that part of it as well.
Yes, I think an agent has to be compassionate. If someone is downsizing and they've had their years and years of memories at that home, so from the first buyer to the person that's downsizing, I think you're a very compassionate person, yeah, that you can be very understanding on both sides, because they both have very different needs, yeah, very different emotions about it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Working with folks like seniors or retirees who are making that big step, mm-hmm, it's important that you understand exactly what they're going through to the best of your ability, because there's usually adult children involved. Perhaps there's a financial situation involved. Maybe they could or couldn't take care of the house, you know, and you have to help them through that, because we already spoke about buyer expectation. If they really want to sell it for the maximum dollar, they've got to address those issues too. Mm-hmm. So it is important. That is another side of selling, which not so much the salesman, but understanding what goes into selling homes that you have to be aware of.
I don't think people realize agents have those challenges. There are more difficult sells or buys. Some can be easy, but I'm sure some are a little bit more challenging. But it's finding that person you trust.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. You need that relationship.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what is a good expectation of time to find a home? How long does it take?
Well, it's a funny
thing. I'm ready now. How long does it take? Half hour, TV
yes
says.
Okay. By the time somebody calls you, they've already been looking either at 2 or 3 in the morning or all through the day or on their lunch break at work. We don't want to think they were doing it on work time.
Not on work time.
That they've already been scouring real estate ads and on some website or other, and probably driving through neighborhoods to determine what they like. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. That's actually a good thing. So you can expect, if you're getting a mortgage, which most people are, there are lots of people that buy in cash, that's one thing, but most of the time people need a mortgage. For that reason, you need to know what your lender's guidelines are, and very often they need a certain amount of time because of the appraisal process and everything that you need to get them through the application process. I would expect that to be about 45 days from the time you identify a property, make an offer, and then are able to go to settlement. But on average, people can expect 45 to 60 days. Usually beyond 60 days, there's issues with locking your mortgage rate. You'll have to discuss that with your lender. And sooner than 45 days is a bit fast for some of them, especially if a holiday should fall in between, because the banks don't usually work at that time. So you need to keep those things in mind. Have a realistic timeline for settlement, and also make sure that this is something that's normal and customary for the area that you're working in. Every agent knows what that is. And you've already been looking at houses before you actually make an offer. It's very rare, although we would love it, it's very rare that you buy the first house you walk into.
Has that ever happened?
Oh, sure.
For you? Okay.
And yes, it's fun.
Yeah. That one we would like.
Yeah.
So I guess most buyers start shopping online for real estate.
Without a doubt. That's the way it is, yeah, now. People do. But you can also see that a lot of agents are starting to hold houses open maybe before they even hit the online market. It depends. Mm-hmm. It depends on your marketing strategy and what you're going to do. The open house is definitely not dead. I know a lot of people will say, oh, well, you don't really sell a house at open house. Well, I would differ with that. I'd say last year I had done that at least twice. So people still have to walk through the front door before they decide they're going to buy a house. There can be a ton of internet advertising. They can see every angle, every picture. I mean, we have 25, 30 pictures online at any given time now. They can see a floor plan, room sizes, but they've got to walk over that threshold and through the front door before they decide they're going to live here, either raise their family or whatever, you know, that their needs are. To do that, the open house will bring them in. If you do it right, if you market it properly, you will definitely get people driving through because this is what they want to do. They want to investigate before they get started. They want to see how it feels and what it smells like and looks like when they go into the house.
I definitely recommend that. When we bought our first home, it was peaceful, quiet, farm in front of us, farm in back. And then later to find out a bridge was closed for a year and the dump trucks ran by our home like 15 hours a day. So you definitely, I recommend people sitting in a community, mm-hmm. observing, listening, watching, and really not only getting the feel for the home, but getting a feel for the neighborhood.
Absolutely. That's a great thing to do. And I tell people all the time, come back at an off time, whether, you know, time other than when we've been here. You know, if you want to see, you know, how do the buses run through? What time will my kids have to get up to get to the bus stop? Or is there public transportation nearby? You should be able to identify the train stations, you know, where if there's mm-hmm. any bus routes. Also, do your commute to work so you know. And if you do it Sunday afternoon at 3, it's probably not going to be as realistic as if you do it Monday at 5. Mm-hmm. So you want to come back at another time, actually sit there and see what it feels like. Because you're not just buying that box, the house, mm-hmm. but you're buying into the whole neighborhood, the whole community. Something that should be investigated as well.
Absolutely. And because buyers and sellers sometimes start their search online, Kim, what is your web address?
It's kimzrealestate.com.
And she has a really cute house for sale in Abington. So I encourage you to look that up on her website. And also your phone number is?
215-280-7752. It goes right to me. I will be the person that calls you back.
And Kim Z Real Estate is also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And she always has great, fabulous homeowner tips and also her open houses and her homes for sale on there. Please find Kim Z and Kim Z Real Estate on Facebook and at her website, Kim Z at kimzrealestate.com. And I am your host, Renee, with intouchmarketingconcepts.com. Thank you, Kim, for being here today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And how to find a home and the best home is also part of a balanced life, and balanced life matters. Thank you.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.